How's everybody? Like you're not sure. Are you ready to go? I tell you what, listening to Teal, as a pastor, one of our, I guess you'd call it jobs or just heart's desire, is just to see people take a passion that they know God has placed in their heart and just to go with it. And man, did I hear that. So God bless you just for being so faithful to what God gave you and just to walk it. I mean, that is so, so exciting. And we want to be a part of that. But I would just, if you can within your own heart, think about what's God asked you to do. Maybe it's care for an elderly neighbor. You know what God's asked you to do. Maybe it's something within your high schools for those who are college. Man, go with it like that. Not about me, it's not about, but God, you want me to do this, you have a purpose in it, I'm just going to go, put my faith in you, and you're going to do the rest. What a, just, I love that, Teal. Thanks so much for sharing. Coming up this Thursday is our harvest dinner, just a chance for us to hang out together, just enjoy a meal together. We always love that. We're actually going to do it in here, and so we're excited about that. It's at 6:30. Hy-Vee is not only bringing the food, they're going to stay and kind of help serve in the back just to make things a little bit easier on us. But the one thing I need from you guys, talking about great hearts and volunteering, these two sections of chairs, when we're done, we're going to put those off to the side and just put our tables right here and have our meeting this Thursday right in here. So if you can stay a little bit and help with that, we'd really appreciate it. And just looking forward to, I love these times because it's just, I love relationships and I just love getting together. So to see people come, sit at a table and just hang out and talk is just phenomenal. There's a lot more to that than I think we realize sometimes, just in gathering together and hanging out with each other and getting to know a little bit more about each other. So please come. Even if you're like, it's not my thing. It's free food. You don't have to cook. Show up at 6:30, eat, leave. I mean, what's bad about that? See, nothing. So you all be there. Fantastic. All right. Reboot. We've been talking about this series, Leading Healthy Lives. I've been stuck on relationships. This is last week. I'll talk about that. But relationships, they're so important. You don't have a choice when it comes to relationships. And you all have them. You might have relationships, the majority of our relationships may be with people who we didn't choose. You go to work, you just work with where you're at. Or as I look at families growing, parents don't always have a choice of who their son or daughter married. And so all these different ideas and all these different things, relationships are just there. And so we need to know how to work them out. So as we go over this, this is going to be a phenomenal sermon. Pastor Chad's going to join me in giving it. But I want you to understand is, like I talked about conflict over the last couple of weeks, but relationships, as we're preaching, we're not always talking about how to make a bad one good. I just want you to take what we're going to speak to you today and think about, how do I apply this to every relationship in my life? The ones that are going well, the ones that maybe I don't know people quite so well, the ones where there's some damage and need to be rebuilt. So if you can, within your mind, everyone can relate to this message because we're all in relationships. Just think about, God will impress in your mind certain people as we go through His Word and think about, how can you apply the love of God that He's placed in your heart into these relationships? So we're going to talk about four different areas. There's probably several, but as I was praying, I just locked in on four. Love, humility, communication, and forgiveness. And our focus point, which I say at the end, I actually want to say it throughout this. It's very important. Every relationship is an opportunity to make a difference in someone else's life. Well, think about that. Every relationship that you have is an opportunity for you to make a difference in somebody else's life. Have you ever looked at it that way before? Maybe you just think, I just work with so-and-so, or I just met so-and-so at the coffee shop, or it's my friend's friend, and I could really take or leave him. Every time that you meet someone and you form a relationship, if you realize that you are a born-again Christian, you love God with your heart, He has called you to spread His good news, that is now an opportunity for you to speak into their lives. It's an opportunity. I don't know that we always realize that. So let's keep that in our minds as we go. And I have a madism for you. So if you have any problem with what I'm about to say, don't be mad at God. Be mad at me. there background music or my brain playing tricks on me? Are you ready for this? I was studying and I thought, you know, I just want to know what the world thinks about this. So I just started looking up a relational health and not putting any spiritual or scriptures or verses, just relational health. And this saying popped up that hit me. And let me find what I did with my clicker. There we go. Here we go. Love is a product, not the foundation. And I thought, you might think, oh, what was he meaning? I don't even know. I was so taken by this, I took this thought and I went to the Bible with it. And I thought, I think there's something to this. And this guy doesn't even realize what he's saying. Love is a product, not the foundation. So the first thing I want to hit is I just want to talk to you about love. If you're going to buy a car, do you have any idea of what you want? I know what I want. Seat memory. That is the best thing in the world. For 10 years, my wife and I had this Traverse, and I would get in, and if, you know, she sits way up, so I would sometimes forget. And you go to get in, and so the seat's now up, but your mind forgets it, and you smack your head on the top of the thing, and it's like, ugh. So, honey, could you please move the seat back when you, and then she wouldn't, and that's another, we'll talk about that later. But so in this car, you press this button, it goes right back. You're not going down the street going, oh, I just can't find a spot because she moved the seat. I love seat memory. Leather heated seats, or just heated seats. My wife loves heated seats. Who likes something certain about a car? And what is it? It starts and takes me places. I like that. Backup camera, remote start. So when you go to buy a product, you want to know what it has and you want certain things. Well, if we take this, love is a product, not the foundation, listen to what the product of love is. I'm going to, Bob, just let you read it. It says, love as the product, now think of it this way, love is patient and it's kind. So if you're going to buy this product of love, just ask yourself, do I like these things that it's going to offer me? It's patient and it's kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Would you buy that product? Yes. Yes, you would. But if we look at the world and the word love, does it come off as all those things? Because you hear about, oh, so-and-so fell in love. But then they went this hard time. They divorced, and this got ugly, and that said, well, I love such-and-such, and he was a great friend of mine. But then they did this and said this behind my back. And so this product, actually, I would almost think, if you look at it in the world eyes, love is, it's tricky. It's a little bit deceitful. It gets your hopes up, then it drops you. I mean, but that's not the product of this love. What is the difference? It's the foundation. See, that's why I love this saying. Love is a product, not the foundation. The foundation of this love is wrapped in Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. That's what this love here, that love there, that's what that love is being built on. It's a solid foundation of God. So when we talked about a couple weeks ago, the great commandments, love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's the very foundation. When you have that foundation and you're loving in the way of God, and you're like, well, how do you do that? I've told you 100 times, 101 now, you have to have a relationship with God to understand how to love in the way that he loves you. And when you do that, his love will transform us within our hearts and we'll begin to love that way. And that is being in his word, understanding him, praying, asking for things, watching him answer, putting your faith in God. It's just time with God through reading, through prayer, getting to know and understand God and Jesus Christ through his word now builds within us this love. Because now that we have the foundation, these things, patience and kindness, the lack of jealousy, not boastful, not proud, not rude, those things now begin to become part of who we are. And so in any relationship, whether you know them well or not, if you enter into that relationship with this kind of love in your heart, guess who they're going to see? It's no longer about what you have to offer. They're seeing the person of Jesus Christ come through you. But you only get to this kind of foundation, or excuse me, this kind of love, if you have a foundation of God. It's not within yourself. There's not enough good you could do or enough niceness that you have within yourself, because we're human and we'll fail. But through this love, through this foundation that we get through hanging out with God, that's what happens. So as we go on, listen to the similarities in this. My second thing is humility. So in relationships, if I now have love and I'm loving people in the way that Jesus Christ loved me, this is going to be very easy, because what we're describing here, it goes on in Philippians 5, is we're actually describing Jesus Christ. But it says this: don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. You see, that's kind of hard in many ways, because if you struggle with this, you're not a bad person. But I've bumped into many personalities who struggle with themselves as a person. And so to think of people as above them is actually a problem with them, because it makes them feel like they're lesser than. So we have to understand who we are in Christ, that we are wonderful. We are beautifully made, as the Word says. You are so worth it that Jesus gave his very life for you. So the voice that tells you different, that is lying to you. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Is there love attributes in humility that are also in love? Yeah, it's full of it. Love combines with humility. Through loving others as Jesus loved us, you now find that you can have a humble spirit and actually care for others above yourself. Their needs are now important to you. When it comes to relationship, if any of you say, my best friend is so-and-so, I bet that friend, if they're your best friend, I bet they care for you and you feel like they care for you. It's because of the way that you're loving them. And so some might say, you know what? That's just not me. Does it say anywhere in there if this is you? I love a verse 4. It doesn't say a suggestion. It just says this: don't look out only for yourself or your own interests, but take interest in others. And so we almost have this command: don't do that. If you're in a relationship where it's more about you than others, there's a problem there, and God's asking you to look at that problem. Check your heart. What foundation are you building this relationship off of? If God's not in it, I understand why you would be struggling. But if he's in it, then there's a certain way that we can act towards these people. And then that comes to where I'm going to have Chad come up. Communication. Communication is huge. It involves talking and listening. And he's going to talk about something that we had a seminar on just a few weeks ago, compassionate listening, that just kind of, when you understand it, blows your mind. If you can be a compassionate listener to someone, you are telling them, I care for you so much that I'm going to listen to you and understand you. Has anyone had a conversation with someone that just likes, they're a compassionate talker? They're just compassionate about talking? There's something in me that I have some compassionate talkers in my life that I almost don't speak much into their lives, because I know they're just waiting for me to be done talking so they can talk. They're not great listeners. And so you could have people, oh, I have a good relationship with so, but I'm not that close. It's because there's that lack of listening. If you refuse to listen, you can't really understand the depths of that relationship. If you can't understand the depths, how can you help it even with your knowledge and love of Jesus Christ? So this is so important. Please wrap your mind around what Chad's going to say, because it's going to be so easy, or not easy, it's going to be so important to apply it to the relationships in your life.
All right, as Rick and Cheyenne pass out, I have some homework for you. You can do the collective sigh. Homework. Nobody likes homework. No, you don't have to do any homework. But this is just some notes, actually, from the Compassionate Listening Seminar that we did. And it's just the last couple pages, and I thought it would be good for you to take home. And I'm going to walk through some of the items here, and of course, I'll kind of weave them together a little bit and close it out and give the mic back to Pastor Matt. So if all else goes well, we'll be done quickly, all right? But actually, you guys are going to be involved here briefly too, believe it or not, and this is probably a major, not a good thing to do in a corporate service, but I'm going to do it anyway for the sake of applying this. So now, how many of you are good listeners? I mean, seriously, be honest. A good listener or not? Not very many hands. Any good? I mean, seriously, if you're a good listener, yeah, raise your hand. It's okay. I'm not bragging. Okay. All right. Okay. Not very many hands. I assume the rest of you are terrible listeners. Somewhere in between, right? Obviously. We know in the book of James it says what? Be slow to speak and quick to listen. I think we flip-flop that, don't we? I think that's the norm. Listening is, we tend to tune out, as Matt said, you know, Pastor Matt said, well, sometimes some people, they just like to talk, right? And to just share, and so they kind of wait for you to shut up so they can begin their story, or whatever the case may be, right? We all have those friends and such. I run into this all the time with my students. I love my students, but as an instructor, you tend to have to repeat yourself quite often. Because, and I mean my student, I love my students here, but I'm speaking of my college students, but this shoe would fit probably here, but I have to repeat to my college students instructions for various assignments over and over and over again. So I'll say it, and then I'll go over it, and then I'll say it again, and then about 5 minutes later, Mr. Davidson, yes, they'll ask me the exact same question I just answered. So it happens all the time. We know, we run into this to our lives, don't we? And so, anyway, so what we have here in this handout is kind of some tips on how to be a better active listener, okay? Now, it's interesting when you think about this, and what I want you to do is to, when you look at the list of what active listening is not, I want you to rate yourself and feel free if you want to write something down or just make a mental note. As you're reading through this, you'll discover this is what active listening is not. And then, of course, we'll go over some characteristics of effective listening. All right. So active listening is not, says, when I'm thinking about an answer while others are talking. How many of us do that? That is very normal. When I give unsolicited advice, because my advice is so good, I have to give it to them. Right? We all do. We've done this. When I suggest they shouldn't feel the way they do. How many men have done that? Honey, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You don't have to. You don't feel that way. That's a road to, you know, you don't do that, right? Number one tip. Dan's giving me a look. Dan, I know you've done it. When I apply a quick fix to their problem, right? When I fail to acknowledge their feelings. When I fidget or glance at my watch and appear to be rushed. Okay, how you doing? Are you rating yourself as you're going through? Are some of you kind of starting to squirm in your seats a little bit? All right. When I fail to make eye contact, when I don't ask follow-up questions, when I top their story with a bigger, better story of my own, I don't know how many conversations with grown men that I've had, that is exactly what happens every time. Guys, you tell me, isn't that how it is? Right, we're swapping stories, it's all good in nature, but they tell one story, and then the next guy tells it a bigger story, and then the next guy tells even a better story, which are all fun stories, but that's not active listening, is it? We're just kind of bantering, we're sharing, you know, about whatever, but that's not active listening. And then finally, when they share a difficult experience, and I counter with one of my own, and that's a big no-no, right? If they're pouring their heart out, we need to be what? Listening to them, not engaging. Say, well, yeah, I had the same horrible thing happen to me. And then we go on. What we do, we throw cold water on the moment where they're opening their heart up to us. Okay? All right. So those are some things active listening is not. All right. So good characteristics, or four characteristics of effective listening. All right. First of all, real quick, desire to be other-directed rather than to project one's own feelings and ideas on others. Our job isn't to really, you know, project our thoughts, our feelings, our opinions. It's just to really sit back and listen. Be other-centered. Take yourself out of the equation. This is not about you, okay? desire to be non-defensive rather than to protect yourself. Okay? Desire to be non-defensive. If something comes up that might trip a trigger in you or cause you to get riled up inside for something, and maybe it's related to you, maybe it's related to something you're about. It could be, of course, maybe someone with a different worldview than you, and you start to kind of have one of those moments, and you're like, listening, but just listen. Just listen, okay? Be non-defensive. All right, desire to imagine the roles, perspectives, and experience of the other rather than assuming they are the same as your one's own. And desire to listen as a receiver, not as a critic. And desire to understand the other person rather than to achieve either agreement from or change in the other person. Okay, you catch all that? All right, communication is more than words being exchanged between people. Nonverbal issues such as body language and tone of voice are often more important than the content of words in communication. Generally, there are six components involved in effective active listening that can be helpful as we develop and grow in this skill. They include, I'll go through these really quick, and then we're going to put this to practice, okay? And it's going to be really quick, too. All right, so first of all, attending. So attending meaning awareness of verbal and nonverbal cues. Are you really paying attention to what's going on in their body language? Verbal and nonverbal attending, interpretation, okay? And kind of picking up maybe they're a little flushed. Maybe that you see a tear, maybe there's something going on. They're kind of interpreting what's going on in the person in the moment. Asking appropriate questions, that's a whole nother conversation, but that's important. Focus or context of communication. What are you actually, what's the point of what we're discussing here? Reflecting back to the sender what you think you are hearing. So good job, summarizing, which we're going to do here in a second, which goes into our last point, summarizing. So what I want us to do, it's going to be really hard to do, is, and I forgive the awkwardness of this, please, I beg of you, I this is not to make everybody feel weird, but all we're going to do, and it's going to be fairly innocuous, find a neighbor, and if it's a group of three, you can do two pairs or threes if that works best, right? And so what you're going to do is, you're going to share about, one person is going to share about their favorite, food. Sarah, this is the food. It could be anything. And just describe it, maybe if you want to include what restaurant that is. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to share it. The key, the listener, the good listener is in here. You say, hey, I'm a good listener. I'm going to do this. You're going to listen. And then after they're done, again, it's going to be really short and sweet. Okay, very, very short and sweet. After they're done, you're going to repeat back. This is what I heard you say. And then you're going to repeat back. And then you'll get another about 20 seconds after that, and the person can say, hey, great job. You did, wonderful, right? Now, because of short and sweet this should be really easy because you'll have maybe a minute, minute and a half for that person to share, and the other person will repeat back, and they'll say, hey, you did a good job, or no, you didn't listen to me at all. You're clueless. Did you even hear me, right? So anyway, real quick, groups of two or three. Right? And if you just want to be a casual observer, you're totally welcome to do that. It's fine. And don't feel awkward at all. All right? And so find a pair or in threes and just pick one. So do it really quick. Do it right now. All right. Who's going to share their favorite food? All this is really innocuous. All right? So you get about 10 seconds to figure out who's going to share their favorite food or restaurant. All right. Okay, so, all right, so on your Mars cassette, go ahead and share about your favorite food, and the other people are going to listen in, so go for it. All right, so you've had a chance to describe your favorite food. Now, the other people are going to repeat back what you just said, so they're going to summarize it. What did they just tell you if you were listening? What did they just tell you? Repeat back what they just said. So how did they do? So listeners, how did they do a good job summarizing what you said? Did they? How many? Raise your hand. They good. Connie's giving a, look at that. She's like, anybody? How did we do? Were they a good listener? Did they repeat back well? Now imagine, now this is a little snippet, and this is fairly something innocuous. But imagine a more serious conversation, something that's going on in someone's life. Maybe it's, something that's going on with a loved one, whatever the case may be, right? Could be a number of issues, but like a prolonged conversation and you're trying to intently listen, and it's easier said than done. It truly is. And so anyway, so why do we talk about this? Why did Pastor Matt have us bring this up this morning? Because I honestly think one of the most loving things we can do for one another is just listen. Seriously, just listen with actual interest. You're like actually looking at them going, yeah. They can see by your own body language that you care. You'll be shocked how much they will share if you just listen. And when they stop, you don't inject with the story. You're like, yeah, keep going. Share. Tell me a little bit more about what was going on there. And they'll go on. Like, really? Now, I heard you were saying this about your friend, and you guys were hanging out, and he brought up this issue, and it really kind of triggered some, hard feelings from other friendships you've had in the past. What were some of the things that were brought up there, if you don't mind me asking? What's really going on? And on it goes, right? And what an amazing opportunity. And you don't have to say a word. You don't have to preach. You don't have to teach. You don't have to do anything. You just listen. And it'd be incredibly, incredibly life-giving. Okay. So to wrap this up, at the end of the day, when we give somebody the gift of listening, we are loving them. We truly are. And at the end of the day, hearing somebody's personal story, and I've done this several times because I've done some coaching over the years with various people. I'm coaching actually a friend of mine from First Church right now. He's 20 years my senior. And we have a great time, and I'm just listening. I'm hearing his story. I'm hearing about some things that he is desiring to grow and learn in. I just listen, and I ask some questions here and there, but again, just life-giving. And as you do that, you'll just be amazed, I think, the impact it'll have on your friends and family. Now, I really think the key to this, and we're obviously within this room, it's easy to have kind of some like-minded conversations. I think where the rubber hits the road is when we go outside of this place, and we're at work, we're with friends and family, friends that may not have the same kind of religious worldviews we do or perspective on life, right? And I think this is really where this is an incredible tool and it's done out of a genuine desire, not as something we're just doing out of a project or otherwise, but we have a genuine desire to really get to know people and understand their perspective and opinion and their thoughts about life, and to really hear them and really, I think, build that relationship. Because through that, I think, one, you'll build kind of hopefully a good relationship, good healthy relationship. Two, but you also have opportunities to where maybe talk about deeper life issues, maybe faith, maybe other things. But it can open some tremendous doors for you, I think, to really connect with others around you. And I think that's the powerful part about it. So the question is, as I wrap up here and as Pastor Matt comes up, where do you start, right? With your spouse, your close friends, your coworkers, right? Remember, you're listening, you're not telling, right? Don't jump in with your opinion, especially if you start to disagree. Well, I think this, right? No. Back that up. Say, tell me more about it. Why do you think that, right? But it's a key that we could literally, in the midst of this, change somebody's life. At the end of the day, everybody's story needs to be heard. And the trick is, the question is, are we truly listening? Amen? Pastor Matt.
All right, so put this together. I'm going to add one thing for the end. If we have God as our foundation, the Word of God, we're just plugging in, we're making efforts. Not everyone's going to know everything until we're in heaven. But if He is our foundation and we begin to love as the Word asks us to love, it's going to be, you'll be tripping and getting back up and trying again because we're human. We'll be caring for people. We won't be putting ourselves above them. Humility will walk in. will realize that, man, I can love you as myself. I can place you before myself. I can do the very thing for you that God did for me. So now we have the foundation. We take the product of love and then humility. And that, in turn, allows us to actually care more for the people and realize, hey, I'm here for a purpose. This relationship is for a reason. What did I say my focus point was? Every relationship is an opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. I realize this relationship isn't a mistake. It's an opportunity. So I have my foundation. I have love. I have humility. Now I'm listening. You're going to make a difference at this point. Because now they're noticing something's different here. And you notice what Chad was doing? He was asking questions that weren't... They say in compassion listening, don't do yes or no questions, but ask questions that keep them going forward and figuring things out. I do a lot of mentoring more than coaching, but I found out that even my greatest advice isn't always taken because people need to figure things out for themselves. So, oh, you're going through this argument of what happened. Now, you desire to have this relationship back. What do you think maybe you could do? And so you get them thinking through and talking. And so, but that's coming from a loving heart and a humble heart. And the last thing I want to hit real quick is forgiveness. Because in all these relationships, it's crazy how many issues we can have, even with the people that are closest to us, because we're around them the most. They can say the most things that tick us off, right? Maybe it didn't mean much. Maybe someone's talking, oh, yeah, you're those little, and they make a little hairline joke. Well, I'm doing pretty good for 51, I think. What do you mean? I do. And you laugh, oh, yeah, that's funny. I do have a receding hairline. Jerk. Like you could lose 20 pounds. You're making fun of my hair, you know. And so there's little things that just can come in us, and Satan wants to just pick. And all of a sudden, then you just harbor that. They don't know about it. It just begins to fester. It's amazing how many relationships that need forgiveness where you think nothing's wrong. There's the relationships that have obliterated. There's been a blowout, and you know that forgiveness either is going to be had or it's not. But how many little things, and so if you date back, look at love. It's patient. It's kind. It keeps no record of what? Wrong. If you're under God's foundation, that's the love that we're supposed to be striving for. Okay, so that upset me a little bit, but it's no big deal. God, this relationship is more important than that little feeling. I'm just going to let that go. If it is a big deal, well, then you need to talk about it. But there's so many little things that can allow this little bitter unforgiveness to get in us, and we're harboring, and it can begin to damage that conversation. Guess what happens when that happens? You stop listening. Compassionate listening goes out the window because you're just a little bit. So you stop asking as many questions. You stop inquiring as to their life. You stop remembering the situation they were going through and asking, hey, how did that go? How is your aunt feeling now? And so when you stop that, inevitably they stop sensing that compassion. And it all happened because of something that got into you that just upset you a little bit. It's a very slow rolling snowball that gets very large. And so forgiveness is so important. So listen to these verses. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, now listen to the attributes that are in here of what you've already heard. You must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. What do those have to do with? We just read through love and humility. If you have the foundation of Christ and what those look like, it's right in here. Clothe yourself in these things. Make allowance for each other's faults. Has anyone here ever laid a floor or built anything? Done any tile work? I found out that if you're cheap, and I am, you know, it's 24 square foot. This box, okay, I got 24 square foot. That's a mistake. What's going to happen? That means you have to be perfect, or you have to go back to the store. So I've learned over time, you know what? I would rather spend a little bit more money than go back to the store and then spend a little bit more money. So now I just buy extra. We redid the bathroom, and I bought extra of everything. I have little pieces laying all over the place. I made allowance for my mistakes, for my imperfections. So then when it happens, it's no big deal. I have more right here. There you go. It's a great, great tool. It'll save a marriage. I could tell a Tile story, but I won't. But making allowance is so important. So we have to make allowance for other people's fault. And if you back up, you have your foundation of God. You know what he says about how to love and how to walk in humility, now how to listen. That allowance becomes easier. Because if you blow up and you're upset and you just allow this, you know, this unforgiveness to build within you, what you're saying is, I don't like the way you're treating me. And you're putting everything back on them and you're not taking any responsibility for yourself. We're as imperfect as anyone else. And I would pray that those relationships come back and make allowance for us. So make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. You must forgive others. If you cannot master this, you think you have the right to be upset. They did something so bad that you just can't forgive. You are not walking with God as your foundation. You've kind of stepped off to your own sinking sand foundation. Because what has God done? We only have eternal life because of forgiveness. Jesus only came down to this earth because he's going to offer that forgiveness for us when we did not deserve it. Who are we to live out of that love for someone else? Complete hypocrisy. Final verse. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Are those words that describe a wonderful relationship? Love and peace. So as we dismiss, keep these things in your heart. As a matter of fact, let's start this way. Every relationship is an opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. Every relationship, I want you to run that through your head. Every relationship that you are in is an opportunity for you to make a difference in someone's life. If you walk in the foundation of God, you love as we've been told through the Word of God to love. You place their needs above yours, become a listener so they can see the love of Christ through you. And then you can walk in forgiveness of them even when people haven't asked, because you know it's bigger than that. God desires this relationship. He desires for what's in you to get into them so that they can take what's in them and get into other people. It's this beautiful domino effect of the power of Jesus Christ. And it happens if we walk in the love and peace of God. So every relationship is an opportunity to make a difference in someone else's life. Lord God, may this be brand into our heart. We are all in relationships. We don't even have a choice. And every one is an opportunity for us to show the love of Jesus Christ. So I pray right now that we will all better ourselves in just attempting to be in your word. May nothing be too busy. Even doing the work of God, may that not be so busy that we cannot be in your word, understanding you, feeling your love, being reminded of who we are and why we are, and who we've been placed on this earth for. May we walk in your love. May we walk in your humility. May we have a listening ear. And may we walk in forgiveness so that every relationship that we're in grabs a hold of who we really are, servants of Jesus Christ, here to spread the good news to a place of darkness. We ask all of this in your name. May we go practice this and watch the power of the Holy Spirit do amazing things through relationships that once were maybe dormant or just so-so. All of this in your name, dear God, we pray. Amen.